You know, when you sit here sometimes and you hear the little baby noises coming from corners sometimes, which church service overall would you say is quieter? No. Here, our church service, or the church you went to in Mississippi? Which one's quieter? Here, right? Yeah, you had a lot of amens going on down there. That's right. There it is. Come on, preacher. Yeah, that's fun. It's fun to be in those environments, but I am also mostly German too, so. I'm going to ask Chris and Christy and Bree and Wesley, because we were going to dunk Wesley in the lake, but frankly, I don't think he'd like to get dunked in the lake. Come on up here. Now, Wesley, I got one question for you. Just one question. Do you love Jesus? Yes. That's all. This sign, baptism, is a marking. It is not magic water. There's nothing. Smell. It smells like water, right? Water. It's just water. There's no power in this water to magically change anything. Power comes from the Holy Spirit. And we believe, we've actually marked, Bree, about a year ago? Wow. Anyway. And Wesley was a little older, and we decided to hang on and wait for Wesley. But we believe the Holy Spirit has marked him. He loves Jesus. The water is an outward sign of something true already on the inside. And we believe that Jesus is calling him to be with your whole family, right, in the church. And it marks one as belonging to this body. She's fine. If you don't want to stay up here, whatever you want to do. Yeah, that's what she wants. Let her do, poor little girl. She wants to crawl on the steps. She wants more water. You want to stay up there? Would you join me in confessing together the faith we believe? And she can stay up here with us too. I believe in God the Father Almighty. You move closer. So, we're kind of laid back, enjoy the breeze and all of that. But today, we are, I only prepared to be very brief. We will be brief today because I knew they were sharing and we were going to be outside. And I had all these great illustrations that went with being outside. They won't work anymore, so we're just cutting all that out. But we're going to be in 1 Peter still. And let's see, 1 Peter chapter, flip there. If you have a Bible or a device, you can tap your way. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 22. Before I read that, let me pray for us and that God would help us this morning. Lord, be with us. Be with any parents who are concerned that their kids are making too much noise. Be with anybody who is for one second thinking they are, and help us to be gracious to one another, to love each other, and to learn from even the tiniest voices, humility, grace, and goodness. You know, we pray for the Jorts family, pray for Dick, he's in the hospital. Be with him, help him to heal, recover from whatever has happened. Just be with that family, Lord. Be with all of us here this morning. Be with our city. Frankly, be with our country. Such a mess. The things that you read in the news. And so, I mean, they were talking about Vicksburg. And it's almost like the Civil War is happening again in Charlottesville. You know, would you just bring healing to division and hatred and judgment and prejudice? God, just cleanse us of these things and help us to be a humble people who see our own faults before we see the faults of others. Be with us this morning as we open your word, and we ask that you would speak to not just our heads, but our hearts as well. It's in your name. Amen. All right, now we're going to be, I'm going to read just a few verses, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, 22 through the end of that chapter, so 25, three verses. It says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Again, now he's talking, been born again, this has happened to you, perishable flesh, Adam, birth, your mama, imperishable, right? Jesus, Holy Spirit, resurrection is in mind. He's just talked about these things. And he goes on and he says, you've been born through the living and abiding word of God, for, this is what it says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now, the first thing I want to point out, if you have a paper Bible, you'll notice that part of that looks like a poem, like it's written a little differently. It might look that way in the app too, I'm not sure. But there's a letter there, and in mine it's an A, and it goes down to the bottom and it tells me to look at Isaiah 40. Now, this is a direct quote from another place, from a place in Isaiah. And what's interesting is you know that place. You've heard it almost every Christmas in Isaiah. This is the passage where it comes from. So hear this. Now, you got Peter. He's writing a letter, right? And he's talking about imperishable. He's talking about what's coming and the hope that we have. And he says, this is the good news, and this is the word that was preached to you. Remember? And he quotes this, and listen to the whole context of what he quotes from Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. a voice says, cry, and I said, what? What should I cry? Cry this: all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. As the preparing the way and the mountains and valleys and everything is a straight place, this is what you need to know. All flesh is like grass. And he says, and this is the good news that was preached to you. You know, that's the thing. This is good news, that all flesh is like grass, that the glory of the Lord. And when I think about that, I think of two thoughts, okay? First of all, glory comes in Hebrew is the same word as the word for weight. Some of you know why. Maybe in prayer, or maybe through an experience that you had, or a humbling, something maybe happened to you, you know what it means to feel the weight of the Lord. And I don't mean patience, I mean heaviness. It's a heavy feeling of, oh, because it's humbling. It's like when we are in nature. If we were, I'd look around and see what was out there. But the eclipse is coming in like a week from tomorrow, right? And for us, when we were traveling, we'd stand on the shores of Lake Superior, or you go out in a totally dark night and you can see the Milky Way band, and you can, you know, and it's those kinds of things, those moments when you're like, who am I in the midst of all of this, right? Well, the weight, the heaviness, the glory of God is so far beyond any of those things. And if you think those things can frequently make you feel like, well, who am I? Certainly, the weight and heaviness of the glory of God can. We just last night at our house finished reading the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is not always, at first glance, terribly encouraging. If you read through it, you know, the writer's like saying, you know, we read the Message version, and he's saying, everything is smoke. Nothing matters. It's all pointless, meaningless, vanity. Choose your version. Those are the words that he uses. And he goes through all of life. And over and over again, he says, you're going to die. Doesn't matter whether you're rich, doesn't matter whether you're poor, it doesn't matter whether you're happy. In fact, at one point he says it's better off to be stillborn than to even catch that first breath, because there's nothing left. And he says the end of the matter is this: fear God, obey him. That's it. There's nothing left to say. And at first glance, that doesn't seem all that encouraging, until you think about this. That's all true anyway. It's just true. We stand before the glory of God. We're really not that great. We struggle with anxiety over my stuff or my reputation or my plans or my future or my kids' future or my grandkids. Or, you know, we struggle over these things. We struggle because we are self-protective, and maybe we've told little lies or done things in order to protect whatever our anxieties are about, right? And then maybe that ends up with a relationship issue. Maybe we now have somebody we don't talk to anymore. All because we are so important, right? But when we grasp this reality that we're grass, we're not that important. It's actually freeing. I think that's why, if you recognize the other famous place this verse comes from, it's Martin Luther King's speech. He used that passage, that the mountains will be laid low, the valleys will be raised up, there will be a highway for our God, and all flesh will see it together, because what he was saying is, all flesh, doesn't matter. All flesh together will see the glory of God, and all the other prejudices and anxieties and fears and enmities will fall away before that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what bathroom I want you to use. It doesn't matter what bathroom you get to use, because we stand before the glory of God. All of that melts into nothing, and it becomes insignificant. And when that is our goal, when we're moving that way, then justice also matters now. Because we have a promise that it will, that the land will be made plain and laid bare. I love the imagery of all the earth. The rough places will be made a plain. That God is coming and there is no stopping him, and everything being laid bare, including us, laid bare before the weight of God. None of those things matter, our anxieties and our self-protection. Because we're born again, it says right here, we are born again by Jesus. So think about all the times that we try to subvert, lift up, do what we've got to do for me, right? Why? Because we don't believe the gospel, that Jesus has said, you are good. That God looks at us and says, you have the righteousness of the Son. You, everything's dealt with. You have a special place in my heart. I think if we believe that, it wouldn't matter so much what you think of me. I mean, the King of the universe or you, no offense. And we have this promise to a return to what we were made to be. You know the story in the garden in the very beginning. Man and woman were naked and without shame. They were fully exposed. That doesn't just mean physical. That means they knew one another fully and completely. And they were without shame. The promise of this day is a promise that everything will be laid bare and we will still be embraced. Embraced by the one who is all of this glory. The one who made the mountains will embrace us and hold us and love us and say, I see you. I know you. And I've chosen to love you. That is something to long for and hope in and to look forward to, and even now to begin to figure out how to navigate our way, knowing that is our future, that our past is to be accepted in Christ and our future is to be welcomed and loved. And pray with me as the worship team comes up, and let's try to keep that in mind, that that is our hope and our promise, and that the glory of God, may it lay us bare. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would display your glory to us, that we'd see you, frankly, rush, speed the day, even now, Lord Jesus, come, let every mountain and plain be laid low. Let all of us, Lord Jesus, see you together. Come quickly. In the meantime, Lord, restore our hearts and help us to see you lifted up. And may it humble us the way it humbled Isaiah. It's in your name. Amen.